are live. What's up? Common Knowledge Podcast. DJ L Spade, just a man doing the best he can for what he got. And right now, it's a celebration.
It's a celebration.
I got my homie, James Payne Lethal.
It's a celebration.
From the M-Town.
It's a celebration, bitches.
With me right now. And what are we celebrating? We are celebrating over 100,000 streams. Our first song to get over 100,000 streams on Spotify. And it happens to be off the Adam Sherman and Breaking Glass picture film soundtrack for She's Just a Shadow. We did it, Payne. Take your victory lap.
Yes, sir. We did it. We did it. We did it. Nigga, we made it. Know what I'm saying? 100K, man. 100K. You see, I'm looking festive and shit. I got my bees on like I'm in the water.
This is why this is a big deal, man. A lot of you guys, like, will buy your streams and pay for streams and stuff like that. We didn't do that. Like, this was all hustle and grind.
Organic.
Us, like, telling folks, like, to listen to it out there, like, getting organic playlists. And
organic.
Shout out to the homie K-Rider, who actually, like, did a lot of legwork going to different, like, sites and posting stuff. And getting people all around the world to listen to the soundtrack.
Yes, sir. K-Rider.
Shout out to Instagram, man, for hopping us in that algorithm, man. Like, it's a lot of things that went into this. So, for us, it's a big accomplishment because it's our first song to get over 100K, man, just by grinding, dog.
Man, I feel ecstatic. 100K is amazing. Of course, Everything is my favorite song, being that that is the most streamed song. So that obviously lets us know that the people like when we are, how we took the spirit of epic Memphis hip hop, the A-Ball and MJG, lay it down energy, and we brought it into the new school. You know what I'm saying? We put a new twist on it. But we still kept in Memphis at the same time. We put it on the movie soundtrack to just make it live in infamy. So that's my favorite song. Of course, I like Pieces. I also like Shotgun, another one of my joints. And a sleeper, I got to keep it real. Escott, She Bad. That one is really hard. K-Rider put in good work on that album as well. So shout out to Breaking Glass Pictures, Adam Sherman. The great people over there at their production company, and Mr. Adam Sherman, the director, for making that film and for Breaking Glass Pictures to give us a shot at that movie soundtrack. I feel like we did a great job. And I mean, 100K proves it. You know what I'm saying? We did that without any major production company backing. We did that on our own. They just gave us... They just tossed us the ball and said, go hooping. That's exactly what we...
Right, it was so funny. How we got the soundtrack was basically a case of, like, closed mouth don't get fed.
Yeah.
I just basically went up to the homie Adam Sherman, director of the movie She's the Shadow. I'm like, look, bro, I would love to do a soundtrack for this movie. He was like, all right, ask Breaking Glass. So
right.
I went out to Breaking Glass, like, hat in hand, like, yo. And here's the thing, right? Shout out to Breaking Glass, because they could have been real dicks about it and been like, yo, I want this. But I was like, yo, I really want to do a movie soundtrack to this. And I'm not going to get the details of the deal, but, like, they were very, very welcoming and very reasonable in their requirements.
Yeah.
You know? They're like, well, this is what I want. And you can do it. And I was like, oh, bet. This is what you want? All right. You get it? We signed the contract, and we made it happen, man. Hey. And since then. And not to mention, they put some of our music on the DVD version in the behind the scenes of the movie. So if you buy the DVD version of it, you will hear our songs in there.
So support them.
So, like, shout out to Breaking Glass.
She's just a shadow. She's just a shadow. Just do a Google search for She's Just a Shadow. And you should get information hits right there. You'll actually see Marcus L. Spade Johnson. You should see him in the trailer as well as on the cover of the movie art. He has red hair, so it'll be very distinctive. The only black guy with red hair. He's
I'm the only black guy in the movie, though.
Not only did he create the musical soundtrack for the movie, but he starred in the movie, so he pulled double duty. So make sure y'all go cop and support, man. We appreciate y'all. 100K, baby. Yeah.
it was actually like, yo, I would like to say that I'm the star of the movie, but I am not. And what'd you think about the movie, dog? Like, what was your overall impression of the movie?
Well, see, like, this is my thing. Like, I actually enjoyed the movie. I'm one of those guys that's into horrorcore. I'm into like very eccentric viewing. So I dug it. I feel like it was kind of a murder mystery slash gangster film based in Japan, which made it even more attractive for me. And the fact that my best friend starred in the movie, they actually like amplified it a lot. I really love your character. Knockout was entertaining the entire way through. You had some of the most memorable lines, and you also had one of the most memorable scenes. I don't want to give a spoiler because this is not a spoiler review right here, but I just want people to go check out the movie and make sure you check out Knockout and his, I guess I would call it his climax scene. Where he, you know, he has the most screen time. He does some things and then some things happen. So you got to watch the movie to figure it out because this is going to be spoiler free.
Well, okay, that's the thing, right? I will say the way Adam Sherman puts together a movie is very eclectic.
Yeah.
Visually, this movie was like visually one of the best movies ever made, in my opinion, because the colors pop. Shout out to Dave who did the photog work on it. And I think the acting was solid, too. You had, like, the homie Kentaz Asaka, my homie, over here in Japan.
Yeah.
He did a damn good job playing Red Hot. Like, the nicest guy in the world, but he definitely popped out like Darth Vader in the movie.
Yeah.
And he really sold it for me. Like, yo, nicest guy ever in the world. You meet him, it's like, oh, cool guy. But doing some of the most heinous, grotesque shit ever on camera, man.
Man, he gets it popping. I love him. He gets it popping early in the movie, and it doesn't it doesn't stop. Like, the hits keep on rolling. I'll put it that way. Make sure y'all check it out. Make sure y'all check it out. She's just a shout out.
So the homie Adam Sherman has a new movie out right now with the OG of all OGs, Ron Perlman, starring, you know, who also starred in, you know, Don't Look Up. But it's called This Game's Called Murder. And what do you think about that movie, bro?
Bro. Okay, so it's clear to me that Mr. Sherman has definitely a distinct directorial style. His style kind of reminds me of Tim Burton with shades of Quentin Tarantino splashed in there.
But, that's a good comparison.
But at the same time, it's more of a, he brings it right in your face. So there's like a Snyder-ish effect, you know, like with it. Like, he doesn't, there's not a lot of masking. There's not a lot of beating around the bush. Pretty early in the visual demonstration, he's going to give you something that's going to make you be like, what the fuck am I looking at? And then, like, he sets the hook, and then he kind of just, then he presents the story. So, like, for example, with this movie, are we doing spoilers or are we keeping it spoiler free?
You know what? I'm gonna say do spoilers. If it's a problem, I'll blank it out.
Okay. I mean, so, like, for one, it's a very educated parallel that he draws with technology, data mining, and the mass hysteria that people go through when there's like some new fashion item or some new fad in popular culture, and how people completely buy in and how they're so desperate to be a part of the crave or the new rave of society that they're willing to they're willing to give up their personal information, data, money, like all sorts of personal things in order to be part of the status quo, so to speak. He has people that are participating in these weird games. So then in that moment, I felt like I was watching Saw in a way.
Mm.
without the contraptions, because he had multiple games. Some games
recording in progress.
Some games would involve one person, but some games would involve like multiple people. But I'll put it this way: visually, I enjoyed the movie. The movie was shot very well. You can tell it's quality. There are all types of things that I noticed as far as the audio elements. So this movie, I think, was a step up from She's Just a Shadow as far as some of the audio elements that I could hear. I could hear conversations that were taking place between some of the extras as the main characters were giving dialogue. I think the color palette was very complimentary of the film. It had a lot of periods of the film where it was very dark, but then he does a good job of incorporating a lot of light via neon lighting, LED lighting, these different lighting methods that he used, especially when they were underground in nightclub scenes. He does a good job of making you... He does several things in this movie, so I was very entertained. I gotta be honest. So I give props to Adam. I think he's a hell of a director, man. I think he does good work. So
yeah, he's the master of the unintentional think piece, in my opinion. It's like on the surface, you will watch the video and you're like, okay, man, some gory stuff has happened. Yeah. And that's kind of the hook. But then when you dive into it, it's something more going on behind the scenes. And it's almost, and this is what he does masterfully. He makes it so you can take what you want to take out of his movies without like it taken away from the movie.
Right.
Because what you just said right there is exactly how I felt about it. And I'm pretty sure if you call Adam right now and ask him, he'd be like, do you think that's what it is? Seriously. Because he is the master of doing that. I remember, and She's Just a Shadow. It was one scene in the movie when I was reading the script, and it says the man takes a bite at the red apple. And I was like, oh my God, this is the most profound shit ever. So I went to Adam. I was like, yo, man, I was reading the script, and what does the red apple mean? So I done broke down. I was like, is the red apple a symbol of capitalism? And I struggle between evil and good and how we supposed to, you know, try to overcome. But at the end, we're all succumbing to it. And he's like, it's an apple. I'm like, damn. Like, sometimes an apple is an apple, but you can take what you want out of it. And that's what he's the master of, like, taking what you want out of his movies. Like, everybody will probably have a different take on This Game's Called Murder.
You're right. I mean, like in this movie, for example, there is an area in the club called No Technology.
Yes.
I feel like in 2022, we could immediately benefit from areas or zones in society where it was a no technology zone, where people were forced to actually interact and engage with each other rather than looking down at their phones. I also think that there are hidden messages in this movie, whether intentional or unintentional, about substance abuse and like alcoholism, like people that have real issues with self-control. I mean, there is a person in this movie, one of the main characters, that consumes alcohol by the pint.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not one of those movies, like say like the new Batman movie, where he gets shot by an automatic weapon multiple times and still keeps coming like Batman. This is one of those situations where the person consumes a pint of alcohol. Visually through the movie, Adam does a great job. You start seeing the effects of the alcohol on the star character, consumes a second pint of alcohol to accompany that with some white dust up the nose. And I'm talking about vomit, throwing up. Like, that's what your body should do if you go crazy like that. But then it shows me that he's aware that there are people that have issues and they are in positions where there are a lot of yes people around them. There's nobody like actively involving themselves and being like, hey, you probably shouldn't drink this much. You probably shouldn't use the white girl, so to speak. And when, but being that this person is from a very privileged family, a lot of resources, very prominent name, they're allowed to do these crazy things. And
almost like real life, right?
Yeah, it is like real
almost
life.
Almost like real life.
Yeah, it is like real life.
It the parallels, like, okay, so for those of you who don't know, this whole story is based on a fictional family called the Wallendorf family. And I don't know if this was intentional, but I kept on thinking Trump when I watched it. I'm not trying to get too political, but I'm like, man, this is like the Trump family, bro.
Bro, like, yo. I was feeling shades of the Trump family with... I was getting some Hilton vibes, like Paris Hilton.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, yes, that's good. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 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 definitely. Yeah. Definitely getting some Hilton vibes in there. And my favorite character in the whole movie wasn't Ron Perlman, although he does good in every movie. Let's just say, like, there's never a movie that Ron Perlman is in that he is not good in. He is one of those guys that when you see him in a movie, like, oh, this jumping to be good. Him and the three guys that when I see them in movies, I know it's going to be good is Ron Perlman, Hugo Weaving, and Johnny Depp. When I see them, I'm like, oh, yo, this jumping to be dope.
I mean, but I don't know about the Johnny Depp, but I'll give you the first two. And Ron.
I mean, Johnny Depp is so underrated while being totally rated what he needs to be. But like Hugo Weaving, though, like when I see him in a movie, I'm like, yo, this dude finna get off. Matter of fact, I think you're a great actor. When you look at an actor, be like, oh, it's that dude. When you don't know who it is, be like, oh, it's that dude. That's when I know you're a great actor. And Hugo Weaving is that dude. When you see him, you're like, oh, man, shit, it's that dude.
Yeah.
And so dude a great.
And shout out to Ron Perlman, man. I mean, Sons of Anarchy. For me, that was a pretty dope episodic program. I remember Ron Perlman from Blade 2, I believe it was.
Yes, classic. Classic character.
I had no idea.
Can you blush?
I had no idea that Perlman was Hellboy. Would you believe?
Oh, you didn't know he was Hellboy?
I had no clue.
Yo, man, yo, let me tell you how I first learned about Ron Perlman. Like, real talk. This is for all you 80 babies who grew up with your grandma. It was a show. I want to say it was on Lifetime. It was called Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, he was the
And Ron yeah. Perlman was the beast solving, like, you know, detective stories, man. That's the first time I got introduced to Ron Perlman. And Ron Perlman has just been like in a steady stream of movies ever since, dude. He's one of those greatest actors of our time. Like, seriously, he is so underrated.
Yeah, yeah. He plays, in this movie, he plays a quite sadistic character, too. Very sadistic.
He does.
Very throw it off.
I don't know if his character is a indictment on capitalism, which it could be taken into, like how capitalism is just the main goal is to get money by any means necessary because the games he's playing are deadly. But however, they're boosting his products more. Like the more games he does, like, and nobody really cares about the people who die for him to push these products. So it could be seen as an indictment of capitalism or it could just be the status quo. I don't know. But Ron Perlman does a damn good job on it. But he's not my favorite character. My favorite character is Stifler's mom, I think. Was it Natasha? Was it Harnstring? I think I'm pronouncing that wrong. But the mom in the movie,
mm-hmm.
She was my favorite character, man.
Yeah, she's like, oh, man. She has this Barbie complex of everything being perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's so not perfect. I mean, it's just like the scene... I think they were having breakfast or something. There was something that was going on, and she was like giving this spiel about just fitting the mold. And she looked like, who looks that good at like 7-8 in the morning serving breakfast? But like, she,
I woke up like this.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it was an interesting movie. I just put it like that to say the least. So if anybody,
well, I love her. Talking to herself moments when she was talking to herself in the mirror and actually showing the split personalities and what she's willing to do to make sure that she keeps that money.
Yeah.
Because look, man, say what you want. Some of the most prim, prissy people in the world, when you start messing with their money, they become evil, dog. Like, you ain't nobody got $1 billion being virtuous, man. Who ain't got no bodies hidden somewhere, bro.
I think we can attest to that.
Yeah, dead ass. Yo, if you like the Common Knowledge Podcast, check out The Random Show, hosted with me and the homie, Alex Lex Caliber Hunter. On The Random Show, we talk about random shit. Follow us on Instagram at random. That's RANDUMB. Random. But let's talk about what everybody want to hear. The slap heard across the world.
Oh, my God.
What do you think about the slap heard across the world, bro?
So,
and for those of y'all don't know, what happened was, Chris Rock was hosting this year's Oscars, right? And Chris Rock made a joke about Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Called her G.I. Jane 2, right? Because she has a bald head. Now, for those of y'all don't know, Miss Jada Pinkett Smith is dealing with alopecia. And she has a problem with hair loss, right? And she's come out openly about that. That's why her hair is low. So she's like actually having problems with her hair. But Chris Rock made a joke about it, and Will Smith went up there and slapped the shit out of him. What's your take on it, bro?
Well played, Will Smith. I mean, you are officially the number one trending topic on Twitter, as well as Instagram, bro. You just made waves. So, hey, congratulations for securing the bag. And I'm hearing rave reviews about the remakes of Bel-Air also. So this just goes...
Oh, Bel-Air's dope. Yeah, Bel-Air go hard, bro.
The timing of this is absolutely perfect. It's a perfect time for him to be trending number one, as well as making viral moments and have new product available for consumption. You see how gangster he just walked across the stage up on Chris, and Chris was like, uh-oh. I'm like, I don't think you're ready for this. Then you just heard something go boom, and then Chris was like, wow. So either Chris is very used to taking a punch, or he completely was not expecting it.
Right. I've seen Oscar events where, like, Ricky Gervais is, like, roast everybody in the room, and other Oscar hosts have done the same thing, right? So this ain't nothing new, right? But it comes a point, like, when somebody takes the joke offensive, that they're going to react. And one thing I always say, my daddy always told me, man, like, you ain't going to get nowhere talking about a man's woman. Like, look at that whole setup. If you look at that setup, when Chris Rock told that joke, which honestly wasn't that bad of a joke, but when he told that joke, right, Will was trying to laugh it off, but if you pan over, you look to Jada, she had that look like, uh-uh, this ain't funny to me. So at that point, it put Will in the ultimate position that every man I've been into. Like, every night I gotta prove my love position. Like, all right, well, shit. So that's what that whole thing was about, bro. It was about, all right, now I gotta go prove my love. That was a man who's tired of everybody shitting on him, dog. And I've been in that position. That's like, yo, everybody think I'm a goody-goody, two-shoe, kind guy. Now I got to show everybody that I'm gangster. And that's what it was, bro. It was like, yo, I got to go over here and prove my love and show everything. Because I think Will would have let it slide until he looked over at Jada. She was like, this ain't funny.
And he was like, I got to do something.
Exactly. And that's what it was. That's what the whole keep my name, my wife's name out your mouth came from. It's like, yo, she didn't think it was funny. I'm quite sure Will could have laughed that off, like, all right, and probably talked to him afterwards. However, if you look at his wife, and once again, her being open about her struggles about going bald and how personal she took it, yo, man, Will's like, man, now I'm painting in the corner. I got to go do something. And that something was, hey, I got to slap the shit out of Chris Rock.
Man, props to Hancock going on stage and getting it popping. You know what I'm saying?
I can't give him props for that, though. Okay, I'm not going to make this the, like, oh, my God, this is terrible. This set black people back 30 years. I'm not going to make it that type of situation. But we can't condone, man, you going on stage slapping the shit out of somebody. We can't. However, I understand it. But we can't condone it. A joke is cool. It's a joke. But you can't be out here joking at the expense of other people. Because, like, you can't tell me how to take the joke. If I take the joke personally, then that's what it is. And once again, talking about a man's wife, his wife, You can't go nowhere with that, dog. Like, you're not going to go anywhere or get anywhere. Like, a lame dude, the guy you think who's a sucker, a sorry sucker, he will slap the hell out of you for talking about his wife. You flew a little too close to the sun, Chris Rock, and I don't think Chris Rock deserved to get slapped. I really don't. I don't think that joke was even heinous enough to warrant somebody, like, going to fisticuffs. But once again, that was a case of, yo, my wife didn't like that. My wife didn't like what you did, so now I got to go ahead and put hands on you to show my wife that, you know, we ain't going. Because once again, it's a slippery slope. I'm not going to make this the big black empowerment moment, like, oh, he set the whole culture back 30 years because he slapped Chris Rock on stage, but we can't condone that action, right?
Bro, what is wrong with standing up for your significant other or yourself on national television? What's wrong with it?
No, there's nothing wrong with standing up for your significant other, but how you did it, man. Like, we can't be, like, on national TV slapping the hell out of somebody, right?
I mean, bro, everybody think Will a simp, so we had to show that he ain't simping out here.
I mean, okay, that's the thing, though. You should have slapped August. Like, yo, you should have like made more ruckus on Red Table Talk.
Bro,
I'm saying you can't be using Chris Rock as a proxy for all the stuff, the mishaps you missed out on. Like, yo, bro, I can understand a man snapping, bro, but it's been like way more egregious acts you could have snapped over.
Bro, entanglement was never on a public platform for him to slap August, but I'm pretty sure if they were sitting at the red room or red table, had Jada puts it. August got his ass slapped too.
Probably right. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna give you that. He probably would have caught them hands at that direct moment.
Cause Will don't look like he playing in 2022, bro.
He is not, man. I mean, like, yo, this ain't nothing that he can't bounce back from, though, man. With a little bit of PR work, he'll be perfectly okay. I don't see like this being something that's gonna damage his career, like long term in life.
He's number one trending on Twitter, bro. He's back. You could do Bad Boys 4 right now, and it's going to go. You could do Wild Wild West 2, and it's going to go. You know,
man, don't do Wild Wild West 2. Don't do that.
Men in Black,
don't do
Men
Wild
in
West
Black 5, maybe?
Yeah, he definitely could. It's just, when you look at the whole setup, right? The setup wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. The joke wasn't that heinous. However, I can't tell you what to be offended about. Like, if you are offended personally by a joke, and that's something the comedians always got to get, man. Like, you can't hide behind the veneer or the shield of, it was just a joke forever. Some folks don't care. And not to make it, like, just to make it broader, like some of these pranks folks be trying to pull on social media. It's a prank. It's a prank. Like, nah, dog. I don't give a damn about your prank, man. You get out of line, you might get your ass mollywopped in public. I don't care if it's a prank. And that kind of goes with the line of a joke. But this does kind of like straddle the fence of, okay, if I am telling a joke and I'm doing a live performance, is it okay for me to hop on stage and slap the shit out of you? Like, is it? Like, what if somebody do that in the stand-up, like at the Laugh Factory?
Bro,
I didn't like what Dave Chappelle was saying, so now I'm going to hop on stage and slap the shit out of Jay Chappelle.
Bro,
we wouldn't be saying that's good.
Now, I know that you done been to a comedy show or two. I've been to quite a few comedy shows where the comedians took liberties against myself. And with a very stern look, I was able to persuade the comedians to put their attention on somebody else rather than myself. Because, yes, those comedians can get G-checked in the hallway. So that's first and foremost. Like, you can joke on motherfuckers that are jokeable, but you can't joke on everything.
All right, so who's jokeable? That goes to the point. Who is jokeable? Like, who
right
can you
now
make a joke about that you think that ain't gonna come up here and slap the shit out of you?
Kanye.
You don't think Kanye would jump up and slap the shit out of you?
Shit, he ain't slapped the shit out of Pete Davidson, and he clowning him all the time.
But I don't think him and Pete Davidson has been in, like, a general facility next to each other.
They haven't. He stayed right across the street from his ex-wife and Pete Davidson over there down there 2-3 times a week.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
I'm just saying.
That hurts.
I'm just saying.
But they got security, though, man. Like, that's security. Like, Pete got security.
Oh, that's
24 hours.
Bro, Kanye got, like, $900 million more than him. Pete Davidson, like, net worth on Google, like, $3 million.
But that ain't a money issue, dog. This ain't about the money. Like, Kim Kardashian don't even need money, bro. Like, money ain't the issue with there. They got some other stuff bubbling behind the scenes. But I do think Kanye would slap the shit out of Pete if he saw him.
Bro, so you saying that Kim, she a billionaire herself, might we add, right, or at least the Kardashian empire at this point.
Yeah, it's worth a lot of money.
It's worth a bill, at least. Because the youngest sister went out the frame. So, like, so she fucking with a guy that make, can I cuss? Am I good?
Go ahead, okay, man. You got it.
Yeah, so she fucking with a guy that make like $997 million less than her. He not right. even funny on SNL, man. Like, and I mean, so what are you saying? You saying like what? Bro, he's not funny to me.
Okay, he's not funny, but once again, this ain't about him being funny, in my opinion. Once again, let's just point out, we don't know what's going on with Pete Davidson, Kanye West, or Kim. But in my humblest opinion, me on the outside looking in, I don't think it's about money. It's about, because once again, Kim don't need money. It's just like Mackenzie Scott, Bezos, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. She married a science teacher, bro. She got $1 billion. She married a science teacher. I think for a lot of women, it ain't about like the money. Because you got to think about it, man. The paradigm done shifted. This ain't like the 1950s. Because keep in mind, women couldn't have a bank account in their own name to 1975.
That's true.
But now women can have their own money, so they don't really need money from dude. But what they do need is security and a sense of normalcy. I think Kim wants to feel like a normal woman. And I think Pete makes her feel like a normal-ass woman.
I think,
in my opinion.
No homo, but I think Pete might be packing on the low. Because he done had some stellar superstar girlfriends. He was going.
Oh yeah, he got a murderous row. He got a murder row. Oh, yeah, he do.
So Pete must got one of them bang bros things working or something, bro.
I'm not gonna lie, maybe he does, but he definitely got some BDE going on. Like I say that, like Pete Davidson got all the BDE,
bro.
Because it must, once again, it's something about confidence. Something about how he carry himself and how he treats the women, bro. Like, women like that, dog. It ain't really about the money. But Kim, once again, what you gonna buy Kim that you can't buy herself?
But, bro, where we from, Pete look like Cone. I don't know what the listening audience know what Cone is, but we'll put it this way. He looks like a regular customer. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, man, he does. But, okay, all right. So, you're right. If I saw Pete Davidson in the streets, I would walk past him and be like, I can fuck that guy up. Like, dead ass, I would. I'd be like, yo, man, that man better not say nothing wrong to me. Like I said on the random show, man, dude got a sneaky aggression about himself, man. I'm telling you, he's the guy who cries when he's fighting. And you don't want no problems with that guy, man. Like, dude, comedy has always been about pain. So I think, man, like, it's one of those situations, right? You know us, where we from.
Yeah.
We have seen some dudes who look sorry.
Like
we can whoop their ass. And then when it all boils, matter of fact, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that everybody wanted to test in high school until I lay hands on them. And then it's like, okay, well, let's not do that anymore. So I kind of see where Pete's coming from.
I raised my right hand before the jury. I can attest to the gentleman on the other side of this call being that ratchet. Well, I've heard him make threats, death threats to people that thought that he was, it, they thought it was sweet until he threatened their livelihood and the livelihoods of everyone that they love. And then they found out very quickly that he is not to be played. And I raised my right hand to the jury that happened. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm just telling y'all.
So that's why I'm defending Pete a little bit, man, because it's always that one person you think, oh, man, he ain't shit, until you show him. Like, sometimes you got to show people, man. You got to show or tell. Like, all right, you right. You think I'm a bitch? Okay, let me show you.
Uh-huh.
let me show you. So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Pete, I think, or Kanye. I think Kanye would actually slap the shit, just to bring it full circle, out of Pete Davidson. He saw him, but I don't think Pete Davidson would take that. Shout out to Chris Rock for not like overreacting,
bro. Chris
on stage.
Salute to Chris Rock's chin. He has a boxer's chin. He took that very well. I heard an audible thump, and all I heard Chris Rock say was "Wow." So he's used to taking a punch, I think. Salute to Chris Rock for having a solid chin on national television. He got chin checked and did not break a sweat. So salute to Chris Rock. You just got this.
And kept the show going, too. Bro. Like, shout out to keep the show going. Like, all right, man. I don't know if I could have, like, had the composure to do that.
You
like,
just seriously. Got this shit slapped out of you when you kept the show going, bro. What the fuck? That is commendable, my guy. They ought to give that you is professional. An award.
Yeah, that's super professional as hell. Like, yeah. To actually get slapped on national TV and keep the show moving on. Oh, yeah, I can't do nothing but commend you for that.
Mine.
But I don't think that slap was warranted, in my opinion.
Like, why,
I understand
bro?
Why Will did it.
You feel like it's just pent up aggression, huh? He's just tired of motherfuckers talking shit.
Yes.
He's just tired. Exactly. He went through hell with the entanglement thing. And he been through the butter niggas jokes, nigga Conley joke. He said, man, the next motherfucker say something, I'm just gonna just. And then,
exactly
Jada gave him that look like, baby, he said something about me. He said, you know what, motherfucker.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what happened, bro. I truly believe what you just said is exactly how it laid out. Like, dude, I've been the butt of everybody jokes for a year now. Yeah. He's been the butt of everybody jokes. He's been memed up. He's been memes on social media. And he just had to show everybody. Like, every once in a while, the line got to show you. I'm a lie. I think Chris was unfairly on the other side of pent-up aggression. Because, like I said, you got Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry talking to you afterwards. It's like, yo, bro, that ain't a good look.
Wow.
Hey. You got the brothers. What can the brother do for me? Like, yo, that ain't a good look.
Shout out to Chris Rock for being solid, even though he just got this shit slapped out of him on the television.
Do you think now no comedian can tell a joke about anybody?
Nah, I mean, they're going to keep the shit rocking. But at this moment in time, this is like epic, man. Bro, it's going to be comedians make skits off of this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what it's I'm saying? Up.
I'd be surprised not out tonight.
Bro, they just gave comedians across the world more material. Timing is everything, especially in the atmosphere we live in. Acts of physical aggression, whether warranted or unwarranted, usually are regarded with a lot of either scrutiny or admiration. In this instance, I think that any red-blooded man that still embodies any shred of traditional masculinity will have some type of respect or some type of non-bias for Will Smith walking across the stage, just smacking the shit out of somebody, even though they're a multimillionaire. And on the vice versa, I think that comedians across the world will be like, well, damn, you can't just smack the shit out of us because we telling jokes. So, you know, it's a good dichotomy there. It works out for Will because luckily Will has an extensive actors and directorial catalog, as well as executive producer credits on new products, new projects, and older projects. So for him to be trending like this is basically a running commercial for him.
Now, I'm totally with you on that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that, like, once again, this is not going to kill either of these guys' careers. I will say something my daddy told me a long time ago. Me and my daddy got into it one time. I was disrespecting my mom, which I shouldn't have been doing. And my dad jacked me up. And it was something he told me that always stuck with me. Like, yo, that's your mama, but that's my wife.
That's real.
And you're right. You know, you're not going to get anywhere talking about a man's wife. And if that man has a problem with how you talked about his wife, you got to be willing to take the consequences to come with it.
Right.
Whereas I don't feel like it was warranted. I really don't. I don't think, like, he went across the line so far to, you know, warrant a slap or a check. But once again, that is something that his wife has been dealing with publicly and being open about, like, her insecurities about going bald. So to joke about that and to see her in pain, I can't do nothing but, like, as a man, commend him. For like, yo, I got to do something. And sometimes, like, violence ain't the answer, but sometimes it's the answer. And masculinity in itself is not toxic. Like, there are some toxic traits about being, you know, a man, but we can't say masculinity in itself is toxic. And that was just masculinity at its finest. Like, look, man, I got to go do something. And something was done. I might disagree with what was done, but, yo, something had to be done.
Did he leave the venue in handcuffs?
You know, that's a good question. And is Chris Rock going to press charges?
Or the network.
What is the Oscar going to do about this?
Right. Man? Like, are they going to go away from African-American hosts?
you know, this would be a good excuse to do that. Like, see, we can't give y'all nothing. We give y'all something, and then y'all come around and you act up on. And that's why I don't want to make that an issue like this. I don't want it to be like, see, you can't take black folks anywhere. I don't want it to become like that. But I got a feeling it's gonna be a certain set of people who are gonna be like, yep, see, this is why we can't take black folks anywhere. We try to give y'all a little bit of respect and y'all can't act right. And I know it's gonna happen.
Bro, controversy sales. This is good for television. When on nationwide television, free TV, do you get full-fledged entertainment like that? You never see that, ever. In the past 50 years of documented, nationally broadcasted television, when have you seen an award ceremony where one of the hosts says something inappropriate and gets the shit slapped, I mean, get the taste slapped out their mouth by one of the most notable and recognizable celebrity figures of the last 20 years?
Oh, no, this is a slap heard across the world. This one's going to go down in history.
Yes, sir.
Like, you're definitely right.
This is epic. We just witnessed some epic shit.
Yo, DJ L Spade here. Asking y'all, take a second after you listen to my podcast and go check out my new album, L Spadia 2. Get over 200,000 streams on Spotify and over 100,000 streams on Apple Music right now. I think you'll like it. Check it out. Tell me what you think about it. Hit me up on Instagram at DJ L Spade. Follow me on Facebook at DJ L Spade. Follow me on Twitter. I bet you can guess. At DJ L Spade. Peace. I'm going to wrap it up right there. Tell the people where to find your stuff at James Payne Lethal and where they can get in touch with you at.
All right. Well, you can find me, James Payne Lethal, on Instagram. That's IG, James Payne Lethal. Twitter, The Bluebird. If anybody still uses that, it's the same thing, James Payne Lethal. I'm on Facebook. You can search James Payne. I have a fan page. That's James Payne Lethal as well. And just to simplify everything, if you just do a Google search for James Payne Lethal, that's P-A-Y-N-E. I like to say it is James, P-A-Y-N-E, Mr. Lethal himself. You'll find a ton of stuff. You can find my music all over the place. My most successful songs are with that guy over there. So, you know, salute, because this is the 100 grand stream. We just did we did 100K, man. So Breaking Glass, y'all need to look this way a few more times. Y'all got any more movies coming out? Make sure you holler at your boys, because you see, we not only can make good product, but we can also make it popular. So, holla.
Yes, and everybody, please check out the soundtrack to the movie, She's Just a Shadow. Also, check out the movie, She's Just a Shadow. It's available anywhere you stream movies or stream music at. We greatly appreciate y'all. And once again, Payne, man, thank you for always coming through in the clutch with the hard lyrics. Greatly appreciate you. And shout out to K-Rider, who has really, like, put his heart and soul into doing, like, playlisting and promotion. So, yeah.
And one more
y'all
thing.
Guys be safe.
And y'all, make sure that y'all, if you have Instagram or Facebook, make sure you follow and like Displaced Media.
Yes. And The Random Show.
Yes, yes.
Displaced Media, The Random Show, Common Knowledge Podcast.
Tokyo, you know, Stash and Spade. Right, Tokyo Stash and Spade on YouTube. Tokyo Stash and Spade on YouTube. Make sure you guys like, subscribe there.
Also, Secret House Against the World on YouTube. Absolutely. I do a lot.
Secret House Against the World. Yo, DJ L Spade, Spotify, iTunes, DJ L Spade, like, just like that. He has a ton of albums. The album L Spade of Year 2 recently was released. It is going crazy. I mean, that thing's like...
Oh yeah, over half a million streams total on Spotify alone, and we got over 300,000 streams on iTunes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen to L Spadia 2.
Yeah, L Spadia 2, man. He'll probably sneak a commercial in here somewhere. So yeah,
it's definitely gonna be in there.
So just take a listen to that and just support the movement, man. And we can't do any of this cool stuff without you people listening, watching, being present and accounted for. We didn't listen to the album 100,000 times. You guys did. So we really appreciate you guys for your love and support.
And before I leave, too, shout out to all what you're doing, too, in the boxing area, too, who's playing the songs and giving them streams and getting those Shazams. So, yeah, thank you to, was it Tri-State Boxing?
Tri-Star Boxing. We have an Instagram and Facebook page, Tri, that's T-R-I, Star Boxing. Just like, follow the page. We're doing events all the time. If you're ever in the United States or the middle of the country, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, Kentucky, come to one of our shows. You'll have a good time watching some live professional boxing, and also you will hear great music by DJ L. Spade, James Payne Lethal, and many other contemporary artists. So come check us out.
All right, and there we go. We out.